Morning. Today's daf in the Avodah Zarah, Lamed Ches. We are in Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots of Hishlakos. We are now going to be discussing, starting the Gemara today, on Bishul Akum. The Mishnah already introduced us to the topic. If you remember the Mishnah back on Lamed Hey, so the Mishnah gave us a list of things that are also made the Rabbanan if manufactured by a non-Jew. The first thing in the list was Chalav, the milk that was milked by a non-Jew with no Jewish supervision. Second thing was bread, and third thing was oil, and the fourth thing is shlakos, is cooked foods. So over the course of today's daf, or the entirety of today's daf, we are going to be discussing this this idea of food cooked by a non-Jew. This is in the colloquial referred to as Bishul Akum, any food cooked by a non-Jew, not any. Okay, let's qualify that right from the beginning. Foods, some foods that are cooked by a non-Jew are going to be prohibited, the reason behind the prohibition. So if you remember Rashi back in the Mishnah, Rashi says because of chasness. Right, Rashi in fact says that on shlakos, meaning right, Rashi says it really applies to everything in the Mishnah, but Rashi says it on the case of shlakos in the Mishnah. I'm going back to the Rashi in the Mishnah on Lamed Hamid Beis. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi called Davar Shebishulo VeKochavim Afilu BeKli Tahor VeKulu Mishum Chasnus. Rashi says it's a Kli Tahor, meaning it's Rashi using the word Tahor does not mean pure. Rashi simply meaning that it's kosher. It's a kosher pot. Everything's kosher. So in other words, there's nothing not kosher in the food itself, but it was cooked by a non-Jew, and it's going to lead to chasus, it'll lead to intermarriage, and as a result of that, it is the rabbis forbade it. That is Rashi and the Mishnah. I'm emphasizing Rashi and the Mishnah because I'm going to show you another Rashi, excuse me, I'm going to show you another Rashi a couple minutes from now, and Rashi a couple minutes from now is going to say a different pshat, and we'll contrast the two Rashi side by side. But in the meantime, however, let's get going with the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, we are on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Hashlakos Menan Emili. So where is it coming from? Meaning, where do we know, where do we see in the Torah that one cannot eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew? So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra Ocha B'Kesef Tashbarein, V'Achalti U'mayim Kesef Titen Li V'Shasisi. So the Gemara over here records in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, when we're looking to purchase some food and some water so that we can eat while traveling in the desert. So and what are we looking to eat? So we're looking to eat. We're gonna buy food, ochel bekesef tashbereini, and vachalti umayim bekesef titeli. So it's going to be ochel and it's going to be mayim. So the Gemara says, so what's the nature of water and why is water put alongside other foods? Kamayim, ma'mayim shel nishana wa'af ochel shel nishana. So the Gemara says, look, water comes in its natural state. So what foods are we looking to purchase? Same thing as water. Only those things which are in its natural state. So in other words, like fruits and vegetables, in other words, but things can be eaten without any change whatsoever. Once a change is made, and by change we mean cooking, so then we wouldn't have been allowed to eat it. So this is a source in the Torah. So the Gemara says, really? So if we have wheat and it is now roasted, so you want to tell me that that's also v'chitim achanami, and the Gemara says, and maybe you'll say that's so, but it's not so. V'atayim will enter nebraisa. Chitin v'asan klayas mutarin. That if you have wheat kernels and they roast them up, so then that's going to be mutar, meaning that's not cooking. So, but the Gemara says, but if the issue is a shinui, a change, then certainly roasting it is going to make a change in it, and it should be aser. So the Gemara says, elakamayim. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Here's what is meant by the comparison of water to food. So the Gemara says, just like water is not changed from its original state, so too anything that's not changed by its original state. Meaning when I'm taking a wheat kernel and I'm roasting it, I'm not changing its state, meaning it's a kernel. It just happens to be that it's roasted, but in other words, it's still a kernel. What we're looking for is something that goes through an actual change. So the Gemara says, "El miata chitim v'tachna hachanami dasurin." So the Gemara says, "Well, let's say they took wheat and they ground it up. So you want to tell me now that that's going to be asur? V'chitim hachanami." The Gemara says, "And maybe you'll say, well, that's right." The Gemara says, "But it's not right." V'atayin chitim v'asin klayos v'kimchin v'aslasu shalem mutarim. That if I have wheat kernels and either they're roasted or they are ground up, so then they're going to be mutter. Meaning either just roasting the kernel or grinding up the kernel in of itself is not subject to Bishul Akum. So therefore, we see that this comparison doesn't really play out. So Ella Kamayim, so here's now a third attempt of the Gemara. Ma'amayim shel nishanam mibriyasan ha'idea or, af ochel shel nishanam mibriyasan ha'idea or. So the Gemara says, so maybe what's meant in the pasuk is, just like water does not go through a change via fire, so too any other food that doesn't go through a change via fire. So the Gemara says, again, the Gemara is just struggling. Midi orksiv, the Gemara says, where in the pasuk does it say fire? Meaning, how could you arrive at that conclusion from the psukim? The psukim don't utter a word about fire. So, ela midi rabbanan v'kras machta ba'amah. So the Gemara finally concedes, that the Bishul Akam Isser is an Isser Durabanan. And as far as the Pesukim are concerned, the Pesukim are just a Smachta Ba'alma. It's just that the Chachamim, what they enjoy doing is taking a Isser Durabanan and affixing it to a Pasuk. Not because the Pasuk is the source, but in other words, it's Smachta. It's what's classically what we refer to as an Asmachta, just looking for a Pasuk to kind of hang it on. But it's not the source of the halacha. The source is a din derabanan, and it's to prevent intermarriage. So says Rashi back in the Mishnah. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you Rashi over here, right here. In other words, on what we just read in the Gemara. But before we do that, though, let's go back to an interesting point by Tosfos. So what the Gemara tried to do now for the last, less than 10 lines, is learn the source of Bishul Akam from Pesukim in the Torah. Gemara really struggled, meaning the Gemara went three rounds of trying to learn it out from Pesukim in the Torah. Gemara finally admitted, no, it's really an Issa D'Rabbanan. Meaning, and in general, you can always ask this question when you're learning, but like, what was the Gemara thinking? Meaning, what was the Hava meaning? The Gemara didn't know that it was a Din D'Rabbanan? And then the Gemara said, well, let's try this pasuk. Well, let's try it this way. Well, let's try it this way. Well, what does that mean? Meaning, if it's a Din D'Rabbanan, the Gemara should just open up by saying it's a Din D'Rabbanan. And why is the Gemara looking at Pesukim? So it could very well just simply speak to this idea of Asmacht, which the Gemara just introduced us to. But Tosos over here understands the Gemara a little bit differently, and it's really interesting. Look at Tosos on the Lama Zayin Amid Beis, Vashlachas Menan Emili, Omer Rabbeinu Tam. So Tosos over here records an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Demid debay Talmud b'shlakos, the kasavr midaraisa. Look, the Gemara, for a good amount of time, thought that this is a din daraisa. And the Gemara tried to learn it out from Pesukim. So Shema Gzera Kadmonisi. So Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam says, so I'll tell you what you see. What you see over here is that this is an ancient Gzera. Meaning that we already spent a little bit of time discussing this point, and that when exactly were Gzeras made. So when it comes to Benosei, and when it comes to the daughters, so we went through an entire daf, an Amud of Gemara, just 2 days ago. We went through an Amud of Gemara where it was during the time, the tkufa of Yeshiva Shem Be'ever, during the tkufa of David HaMelech, during the tkufa of Daniel, during the tkufa of Shamin Hillel, meaning that we were actually able to pinpoint historically when various gezeras were made. By virtue of the fact that right now the Gemara thought for at least a moment that this din of Bishul Akam is coming from the Torah, so Rabbeinu Tam says, look, I'll tell you what the Gemara is really trying to communicate to us, that this is an old gezera. Now, where exactly does it come from? Rabbeinu Tam doesn't identify, but Rabbeinu Tam says, Shema Gzera Kadmoni, see, Velo Nigzera Imapas. So, and I'll tell you what, says Rabbeinu Tam, it comes before the Gzera on bread. We know, again, our Mishnah told us that there was a Gzera Durabana, that bread and oil manufactured by a non-Jew is Aser. What about cooked foods? Rabbeinu Tam says, this is an older Gzera. It's an ancient Gzera. Vishlakos Yinyani Tashil. Now, Shlakos has to do with cooking. Kedemashma Ba'ach Shmaita. Now, the original impetus in terms of why the gzera was made, because it was of intermarriage. And then, as far as bread is concerned, look, Rabbeinu Tam says bread is a staple food. So, as staple foods go, staple foods don't create a kind of intimacy that's something where if I prepare a nice dish for somebody, so that'll create a relationship and eventually could lead to intermarriage. But in terms of a staple food like bread, bread isn't romantic. So the Now what ended up happening is that bread did get instituted, and the Chachamim did make a gzera on bread. But the reason why it wasn't originally part of the original gzera is because it's a staple food. It's just simply not as binding, as socially binding as a cooked food. So Rabbeinu Tam now has to answer up the following. In the Mishnah, look at the order of the way it's presented in the Mishnah. First item of order in the Mishnah is milk, then bread, then oil, and then cooked foods. So Rabbeinu Tam is curious, meaning, why wouldn't the Mishnah now go in historical order? But Rabbeinu Tam says, that doesn't really bother me. Bread comes before cooked foods in the Mishnah. But Rabbeinu Tam says, but I'm still... Meaning, he doesn't answer the question. He just simply shrugs his shoulders and says, it doesn't really bother me. Meaning, look, in the Mishnah, you're right. Bread comes before cooked foods, but historically, the gzera on Bishul Akam comes much earlier. What comes out now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is something really interesting. What happened to the gzera of pot? We're not sure, meaning I'm talking about the readers of the Gemara, meaning the Rishonim already debate and deliberate, the Shulchan Aruch also deliberates. But in other words, but from the Gemara, you get a sense that the gzerah on bread kind of undone, right? Remember, Rebbe comes into the community. We just did this a couple days ago. Rebbe goes into the community, said, why did the Chachamim ask bread? And it was a question of what Rebbe meant by that comment. Did he mean that it was totally uprooted? So in other words, to a certain degree, the gzerah on bread you see is not as solid, meaning it didn't take as well, or it was repealed. But now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's fine. Meaning, let's even say that the ban on bread was repealed. Okay, but that was a later gzerah. So Rabbeinu Tam writes, so lo itir shlakos mehai tam depas v'shlakos trei milin inu. Bread and cooked foods are two totally separate gzerahs. The cooked food gzerah comes much earlier, and if the ban on bread is repealed, let's say it is, so fine, so it's repealed, but the ban on cooked food still exists, and it still is in full force. Okay, I kind of take, obviously, Rabbeinu Tam goes on, but a really interesting analysis of the Gemara, just by the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara thought that Bishul Akum is coming from Psukim. Rabbeinu Tam says, that tips us off to the idea that the Gzera on Bishul Akum is a really old Gzera. It's ancient. It goes back well before the Gzera that was made on bread and oil, etc., etc. Okay. One other thing before we go on to the Gemara, and that is the top Rashi on Lamed Chesamad Aleph. Top Rashi on Lamed Chesamad Aleph writes, I'm reading, Shelo ye Yisrael ragel etzlo b'maychol v'mishta v'yachilena davar tame. Wow, Rashi writes over here, why is it that the rabbis made a gzera on Bishul Akum on food cooked by a non-Jew? So he writes, because what's going to happen is that we're going to used to eating food cooked by them, and v'yachilena davar tame. And what he's going to introduce into his food is not kosher food. Meaning if you basically put him in charge of the kitchen, so what he's going to do is, look, he doesn't have to keep kosher, we have to keep kosher. So what he's going to do is he's going to introduce non-kosher food. So that says Rashi, is the concern of Bishul Akum. Now, you'll note, of course, is that, as I mentioned in the beginning of this year today, that's not Rashi back in the Mishnah, and that's certainly not what we just saw in Tosfos together. Rashi in the Mishnah and Tosfos that we just saw together says that the Gzerah is Mishum Chasnas. So is the Gzerah Mishum Chasnas, or is the Gzerah Mishum Shema Yachlenu Davatame, maybe he's going to serve us non-cooked food, and that he's going to introduce into whatever he's cooking. So it could very well be, in other words, it could be both. It could be a combination of the both. It could be that Rashi in the Mishnah is favoring one side and the Gemara is favoring another side. Anyway, but it's just something to take into consideration. The Rashi over here says it has to do with Shema Yachilena Davatame. Okay. Let's.
Maybe sometimes they go on to the chassid. Let's say if you have a maid.
Okay. Very right. Right. Right.
So maybe
right. That is. Okay, housekeepers is kind of a discussion in Tosos. If I get to it today, maybe. I don't think I'm going to get to it today. Your point is very well, is very, very good. It's discussed already by the Rishonim. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara now. Let's see the Gemara. Sign Amar Rav Shmuel, we're on the top line on Lamed Ches Amar Alf. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzhak Amar Rav Kol HaNechel Kemoshu Chai. Anything that could be eaten in its raw state, so it's not subject to Bishul Akum. So in other words, if let's say a carrot, an apple, cooked by a non-Jew, is not subject to Bishul Akum. Now, if you understand that the issue of Bishul Akum is an issue of chasus of intermarriage, so then you understand the basic halacha. The basic halacha is, look, he didn't really do anything significant for me. Meaning, we are concerned about a cooking of food turning into socialization, turning into intimacy. In other words, if you're cooking an apple, meaning I could have eaten the apple anyway. I'll say thank you. But in other words, it's not a significant enough an act where it's going to create a social bind between the Jew and the non-Jew. That if you go like the Rashi of Shema Yachlena Davatame, a little bit more difficult to understand, but anyway. Now in the Yeshiva of Pumbedisa, they said over a little bit differently than they said over in the Yeshiva of Surah. Amrav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amrav Kol She'inonecha Al Shulchan Malachim, Alafas Bawas Apasim Bo Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kol Chavim. Something that is not served in royalty as a condiment for bread is not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. So in other words, if it's a food that the non-royalty eat, so again, it's not significant, it's not a special food, and so therefore, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And again, I'll put this under the context of chasnas. If the issue is intermarriage, again, you understand. Meaning if it's just non-royal food, if it's simple food that they cook for you, even if you couldn't have eaten it raw, but still, lamaisa when all said and done, This is not special. This is not going to lead to social intimacy, and this will not lead to intermarriage. Okay, again, that's the simplest way to explain the Gemara. So we have now in the Gemara really two Aterim and Bishul Akum. One, if the food could be eaten raw, so then it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And two, if the food is not special, if it's not served in the house of royalty, so it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. I'll just share with you there's so much halacha l'maisa in today's daf. I'm not going to speak much about it. It's not my objective in terms of learning the daf. But I'll just speak out. Major controversy. Something as simple as potato chips, right? Potato chips is a major controversy. Meaning, obviously, you can't eat the potato raw. In other words, you need the potato cooked, and they make up potato chips and they package in bags, and it's really not that healthy. But that's neither here nor there. But anyway, but the potato chips is that subject to Bishul Akum? Meaning, do I need a Jew to cook the potato chips? So on one hand, it can be eaten raw, so you don't have heter number one. How about it being served on the table of royalty? So it would be very strange, admittedly, if you went to a king, or even if you go to the White House. And right, you go to the White House, and they serve it, and in the presentation you have a bowl of potato chips. That'd be very strange. It'd be unusual. So you can make an argument that it's neither. In other words, meaning it doesn't. It doesn't fit under heter number one, but it does fit under heter number two, meaning it's not going to be served in the White House. Now the counter argument to that is, okay, the potato chips are not being served in the White House, but potatoes are, meaning they'll be prepared in a different way. Obviously, they're not going to be, they're not going to be potato chips, but they're going to be served in another way. And so it is a major debate whether or not, when looking at the food and asking the question, is it served in royalty? Is the food being served in royalty? Or is this way that it's being prepared served in front of royalty? It's a major debate. The major hashkacha industries here in America are mekel, for the most part, meaning the OU, for example. So they allow it. They allow potato chips to be made by a non-Jew, and they feel that it's not served in the White House, which they're right about. Anyway, it's subject to controversy. You have, but okay, just giving one example. Okay.
They mentioned it that it has to be served with pots.
Yes. Why? It has to be condiment.
No, but I thought frankly, but the point is, then brings back to that question.
Right.
Why is pots mentioned first?
Right.
Because here.
Oh, okay.
It has to be served with
right, right. Very good. Very good. Might be now the Gemara, now back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, might be now you can be now dagim katanim. So the Gemara talks about small fish, va'ardi v'daise. Our day, I mean, Rashi helps me understand it, but I still don't, I don't speak French. So, and dicey is like cereal, like cracked wheat. So that would be the difference between them. Rashi points out over here. These items that the Gemara just listed. So, look at the second Rashi in the Amud. Eina chalim chayim, so they cannot be eaten raw. Bein olan ashocha malachim, but they are simple foods, and they are not served in front of the king. So, l'lish l'kami yish b'mishum b'shulav d'kochavim, so according to the first Hatter, it's not going to fit under the first heter, but the second heter, but lishna basra sharu. But it would fit under the second heter, since it's not being served to royalty. Okay. And by the way, lamaisa, halach lamaisa, we go with both heterim. Meaning, if a food fits under either heter number one or heter number two, so then it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. Amravasi, amrav dagim katanim meluchim ein b'mishum mishul ev dekochavim. If let's say I have this small fish and they're salted. Now, salting is not cooking. Now, yes, there are other Gemaras that speak to the idea of Maliach Harehu Karoseach, that salting is like roasting, because it does create a reaction, a chemical reaction when you salt something. But that, and that's true in other areas of Issur V'Heter. But when it comes to Bishul Akum, it has to be Mamish Bishul, it has to be cooking. So over here, if you take the fish and you salt them, so now they're rendered edible, and even if they're salted by a goy, that's fine, because that's not cooking. The Gzeira de Rabbanan is on the act of cooking, and therefore one would be allowed to eat it if it was salted by a non-Jew. That's fine. So, Ein by Mishum, Dagin Katanim Meluchim, Ein by Mishum Mishul Avde Kochavim. Amar Rav Yosef Im Salmo Avde Kochavim, Somech Yisrael Aleim Mishum Eruv Tafshilim. And let's say now if a guy were to salt it, so now a Jew could use it for Eruv Tafshilim. Meaning it's a little bit confused, because on one hand, it's not cooking vis-a-vis Bishul Akum, and so therefore you can have the guy salted because that's not cooking. And at the same time, now that it's rendered an edible food, so now you could use it for your Erev Tafshilim since it's been prepared. And now you could use it in order to allow you to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. V'i avdino avikochavim kasa daharsana asr. Now if the non-Jew were there to prepare kasa daharsana, that would be asr. Kasa daharsana was basically, it sounds delicious. It was basically the fats extracted from fish, right? The Murios that we've been discussing, the Harsana that we've been discussing already a number of times. And what they do is they fry together with flour. Okay? Doesn't sound bad. Anyway, if a non-Jew prepare that, that's going to be Aser. Now, Pshita, the Ma'u Detem, Harsana Iker. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Why is that so obvious? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because here we have a food product which is really a blend of two different foods. One is the fish fat, which is edible raw, and the other is the flour, which of course is not edible raw. What argument could you make? So the argument you could make is that really what's the ikker? Well, the ikker is the fish fat, which if that's true, so then it's not subject to bishul akum. So kamashman kimcha ikker, but the Gemara says, what the real chiddush is that no, the kemach is really the ikker, the flour is really the ikker. And as a result of that, if the guy is the one frying it up in oil, so that means now that it's subject to bishul akum, since the flour could not have been eaten raw, and so therefore it is in fact bishul akum. Amra Bronam.
Fish.
Yes.
And
yes.
Therefore, it becomes not edible. So what's there's no.
No, it's rendered edible by the cooking. Meaning by the frying.
Therefore,
it is subject to bishalkim. That's why the Gemara says it's aser. Amar Rav Bona, Amar Rav Avikolcham Sheitzis is or be'agam kolcha agam shebe'agam asur. Okay, now Rav Bona quotes the name of Rav the following halacha. Really interesting halacha. Let's say that the non-Jew simply wants to make a clearing. In other words, he's got swamp in his backyard, and he wants to clear it. So what does he do? So he lights a fire. And the purpose of the fire is to make a clearing now, so that he has a nice open field. Now, while the fire is lit, so there are grasshoppers in the field and roasted grasshoppers. Delicious. Okay? I already told you yesterday, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Wait 1 second. We'll get there. We're not there yet. So she hits this orb agam koch agam shaba agam asurim. All the grasshoppers in the field now are asur. Now, at this point, what are we thinking? Look, we're learning about bishul akum. So what we're thinking right now is that this is an issue of bishul akum.
There's no intent to cook that.
Okay, so now, here's what we're going to learn together right now. And that is the following. The only time that bishul akum is going to be aser is only when the guy was interested in intent on the act of cooking. And if you think about it, it really makes sense. Let's keep going back to the Rashi back in the Mishnah and the Tosfos that we did in the beginning of this morning. Meaning the issue really here is an issue of chastos. Meaning that it has to do with what will create social intimacy between and eventually... When I say social intimacy, I also mean real intimacy. What's going to create social intimacy between a Jew and a non-Jew? In other words, if he's going out of his way to cook for you, if the cooking is really just but incidental, so then this is not going to fall under bishul akum. And really then what would come out, and we'll see this very clearly in the Gemara in just a moment, is that if the guy cooks but only incidentally, in other words, it was not mechaving to cook, so then it's not going to be subject to bishul akum. So now with that stated, so now it's hard to understand what we just read. What we just read together is that if the guy's lighting a fire in the field just to clear the field, and oh, by the way, he happens to cook up some grasshoppers, so I can't eat the grasshoppers. That's what we just learned together. Why? And the Gemara now is going to spell everything out. Hey, chidami. So the Gemara says, well, look, if I now cannot identify which grasshopper is kosher and which one's not. Yesterday we got a brief window into how to identify kosher and non-kosher. Great. So, and if they're already now charred, and I can't tell the difference between kosher and non-kosher, so then fine, that's fine. I understand, I'm not going to eat it because I don't know which one's kosher and which one's not, but then it doesn't matter who's the one who lit the fire. Why over here is the halacha recorded if the non-Jew lights the fire? Even if the Jew lights the fire, it's going to be an issue. So the Gemara says, okay, so I guess it's bishul akum, right? But the Gemara says, but no. We have a halacha set over by Rav Yochanan, and that's the following. If, let's say, a guy was to singe the head of an animal, and the only purpose in why he's doing that is basically in order to get the hair off the animal. In other words, to the hair removal of an animal. This is after it was shechted. After, in other words, it's just now a head of an animal. And they're just singeing it just to get the hair off. And in the process, oh, by the way, it happens to be that it's also cooking the head. But that's not really their intent. Their intent is just simply to remove the hair. So you, meaning us, Jews, are allowed to eat the meat of the animal. Because his intent is not cooking the animal. And afilu mireish une, he can even eat the ear of the animal. Okay, not... Okay, fine. Okay, so ama la'avure sear kemechave. So really, the truth of the matter is that the real intent is just simply to remove the hair. And if that's their true intent, and they're not really interested in cooking, so then it's not subject to bishalakum. Hachanami legluya agma kemechave. So over here, he lit a fire on the field just simply to create a clearing in the field. The fact that grasshoppers are cooked in the field is simply incidental, and therefore it should be okay. So the olam de lo yade atar v'aytame umaisa shaya bovi kochavmai. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. It is not an issue of bishul akum, meaning if a goy were to light this on fire, and if we could identify which grasshoppers are kosher, so bete avon, enjoy. In other words, but the issue over here is that we simply can't identify which one was kosher, which one's not kosher. Why the non-Jew lighting the fire? Maisa shaya. That happens to be he was responding to a specific question. But enachinami, the same would be if a Jew were to light the fire as well. Gufa, let's go back to the Gemara now and go back to a statement made by Rav Yochanan. Amar, write the girsa over here. I'm working with the girsa on the side. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, Amar Rav Pedas, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hayovi kocham decharich reisha shar lamechal minei afilam reish unei. If you have a guy singeing a head of an animal just simply to remove the hair, so then we can eat it because again, his primary interest is not to cook the animal. Let's say you have the following. What a guy does is he takes a tent peg and he throws it into the oven. His primary interest is to dry out the tent peg, meaning it's moist, it's got all that water in it, and he wants to dry it out. But in the process of drying it out now, it's going to be supplemental fuel to help cook a food. And you, the cover by Yisrael, Kara, Mi'ikara. You already had a gourd that was wrapped up and put into the fire pit. Okay, in other words, we did this in our little excursions out to the southeast. In other words, we have a fire pit, we take a potato, you wrap it up, you throw it in, delicious. So the Gemara says, so you already have the potato over there, and he took a tent peg and he threw it in, but his interest was not cooking, his interest was just simply to dry it out, shoshapidami, so then it would be okay. And again, goes to this idea that if his interest is not primarily to cook, so then even though he's incidentally cooking, that's fine. That's not bishul akum. Pshita ma'udatem levishulei manika mechavin kamash malan leshruy manika mechavin. Now the Gemara says, well, what's the havamina? Meaning at this point in time, we have Rav Yochanan's statement. We would have figured this out, right? The Gemara says, no. The havamina would have been maybe this is also an act of cooking, meaning the drying of the tent peg is maybe considered, you qualify that as cooking. It's a strange havamina, but the Gemara at least entertains it, and the Gemara says, no, lishruy manika mechave, no, that's not what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is just simply dry out the tent peg, make it stronger, right? The word shruri, says Rashi, is shakoshrin v'kayamin, meaning to make it last. In other words, he wants a strong tent peg. And so he's putting it in the oven in order to dry it out, but not to cook.
Right. No, so what's the difference?
In the Havamina, I don't want to spend too much time, it's a Havamina. But in the Havamina, what the Gemara is thinking is that what he's doing to the tent peg is an act of cooking.
I understand that, but he does not know there's a gourd in there.
I see what you're saying.
He's not intending to cook the
food. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear you. Okay. Right. In other words, he's interested in cooking something. I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Inich Yisrael Basar Gavi Gachala. Let's say a Jew puts the meat on the grill. Along comes the guy and he flips it over. Mutter. Okay, so in other words, that's not bishul akum, and you can enjoy that steak. Now, Hechidami, the Gemara says, now let me understand this a little bit better. Look. In other words, obviously, it's better if you're grilling to flip it over. And so that way you'll get even cooking. But truth of the matter is that even if you don't flip it over, the food is going to cook. So the Gemara says, so if the food's going to cook eventually, so then his flipping is not a significant act, and so therefore, it's obvious.
Are you assuming that a Jew is standing by and watching this happen?
One second. Right, I hear what you're asking. Right now we're just focusing on the bishul akum aspect. You're talking about Buster Shana Solomon, and I hear that. But right now, let's just focus on the bishul akum. So, alalav di'ilo hafach lahava bashal. So the Gemara says, so it must be that without flipping it, it just simply wouldn't cook. But the Gemara says, "Amay motu b'shulah shavdi kochavim ninu." But then Gemara says, "So his act of flipping now, it is critical for the cooking act, and therefore should be prohibited." So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha di lo hafach avabashal b'tarti shav v'hashak avabashal Bechadashaita. So the Gemara says what the guy is doing when flipping it, accelerating the cooking process. Mao detema kruve in bishulam milsehi kamash malan. So the Gemara says that you might have thought that acceleration of the cooking process is significant. And by the way, if I can just bolster the Havamina. In other words, we know that in Hilchas Shabbos, so one is not allowed to cook on Shabbos, it's one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, and not only is not one allowed to cook on Shabbos, one is not allowed to accelerate the cooking process on Shabbos as well. And there, vis-a-vis Hilchas Shabbos, that is an Isser. Not only is that an Isser, it's an Isser Daraisa, to accelerate the cooking process. So if acceleration of the cooking process in Hilchas Shabbos is significant, so now the Havamina over here is very strong. Over here by Bishul Akum, one could have considered that if what he is doing is flipping now the burger, it's now going to cook quicker. Oh, that's significant. So now we're learning a tremendous chiddush, and that in Bishul Akum halachas, it's not enough to render it aser. So the Gemara says that the Kamash Malan. So that's what we're learning over here. That accelerating the cooking process is not significant as it relates to Bishul Akum. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have to take another statement of Rav Yochanan into consideration. He says that if the food is cooked to the point of Michael ben Jerusai, so it's no longer going to be subject to Bishul Akum. Michael ben Jerusai, we learned back in Hilchas Shabbos, back in Masechta Shabbos and Hilchas Shabbos, that is the minimum amount that you have to do where now the food is considered cooked. Okay, what is that? So Rashi and the Rambam argue whether it's a third or whether it's a half. But whatever the shear is, in other words, if let's say it takes 2 hours to cook, for our purposes right now, let's just use half. Just, it's nice and easy. So let's say it takes 2 hours to cook, and you now cooked it 1 hour, it has arrived at the point of Michael ben Jerusai. Meaning that if, let's say, your profession forces you to be on the run all the time, like ben Jerusai, who, by the way, happened to have been a thief, okay? It's funny that he made it into the Gemara, into halachic parlance, right? That now he is now the measure of when the food is cooked. But if, let's say, you normally takes 2 hours for it to cook, and now you cooked it for an hour, so can you eat it now? Yeah, you can eat it now. So therefore, it's considered as if it's cooked. Okay. Again, by the way, comparing the halachas of Bishul Akum to the halachas of Bishul B'Shabbos, if you cook a food after Michael ben Jerusai, did you violate the halacha of Bishul B'Shabbos? So that is a machlokas. It's a machlokas harishonim. But again, we're discussing Bishul Akum. Again, it's a din derabanan. So we are going to be a little bit more lenient. And the Gemara over here says unequivocally that once the food is cooked to the point of Michael ben Jerusai, it's no longer subject to Bishul Akum. Period. So the Gemara says, "Ha'ena k'Michael ben Jerusai yeshma mishum bishul of dekochavim." So the Gemara says, "But what does that mean?" It means very clearly that if the food has not reached the threshold of Michael ben Jerusai, then it will be subject to Bishul Akum. So the Gemara says, "So now let's consider now our flipping our burger. In other words, what do? I put the burger on the grill, and I have the guy flip it. Shouldn't we now basically ask this simple question: has it reached the point of Michael ben Jerusai, or has it not? If it's reached the point of Michael ben Jerusai, so his flipping is going to be not significant. If it has not reached the point of Michael ben Jerusai, so then he's taking the burger off and he's putting it back on again. And that, of course, should be significant. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. How does Rav Yochanan's statement of Michael ben Jerusai fit in with the flipping of the burger? Gemara explains beautifully. Hasam kagon to usay besilta v'shakla v'kochan v'usay betanura. The Gemara says, look, there's a really simple difference. And it's fundamental. When I'm taking a burger and putting it on the grill, meaning me, the Jew, when I'm taking the burger and putting it on the grill, we don't have to take Michael ben Jerusai into consideration. Why? Because I no longer have to do anything, and the food is going to cook. Meaning the process will be concluded. And so therefore, Michael ben Jerusai no longer is a consideration. The guy comes along and flips the burger, and even if he does so before Michael ben Jerusai, it would have cooked anyway without him. I didn't need him. He accelerated the cooking. In Bishul Akum world, acceleration of cooking is not significant. Great. As far as the statement of Rabbi Yochanan regarding Michael ben Jerusai, it's very simple. Let's say I parboiled the food, right? I gave it just a little bit of cooking, took it out, put it in the fridge. I mean, the Gemara uses the word basket over here. The Gemara didn't have a fridge. But now when I take it out and I put it in the fridge. And now he takes it out. It was already cooked a certain amount. He takes it out now. And he now puts it in the oven, or he puts it over the stove. So now I have to ask the question. Did he cook it? Yes or no? And the answer is that if it already was to cook to the point of Michael Ben Jerusai, then what he did is insignificant. If he didn't cook it to the point of Michael Ben Jerusai, if the Jew didn't cook it to the point of Michael Ben Jerusai, then what he did is cooking, and therefore it's significant, and therefore going to be Bishul Akum. Gemara says that's how I look at these two cases. Tanya Namehach, the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Minech Yisrael Basar Gabi Gachal Muval Vikochal Mahafich Bo Ashi Yavo Yisrael Mi Beis HaKnesses Om Mi Beis HaMedrash Ve'eino Choshashes. So you can have the Jew put the burger on the grill. You can then have a guy then tend to the grill, flipping the burger. You could be at shul, you could be in the Beis Medrash. It's fine. Another example: Shofes Asisha Kedera Agav Kira Ova Ovedes Kochavim or Megisa. You can have the Jewish woman putting the pot on the stove. You can then have the non-Jew stirring, and once again, Omegisa Ad Shetavo. And she could be either in the bathhouse, she could be in shul, she can come back in a choshesh, and again, there's nothing to be concerned about. Now, Ben, your question, which you asked already once earlier, is pasush in a salam and ayin, meaning how can you leave the meat unattended to? So it could very well be, somebody else, it could be somebody else is there, it could be that there's a simon on the meat, okay, which the Gemara in Chulin discusses. But anyway.
If the principal thing is not for the purpose of commercial socialization, so when you hire somebody to cook it.
Right. So it goes back to the question of hired help. The Gemara does not discuss it. The Rishonim discuss it in terms of whether the help is a hired help, whether that will make it better, worse, same. Okay. I'll point you in the right direction. I won't discuss it now, but I'll point you in the right direction for discussion of hired help.
For acceleration of the cooking, he doesn't have the time to socialize with us.
The Gemara says that basically for socialization, in other words, it has to be where what he's was doing to you is going to create a real sense of thank you very much. Like, in other words, you did something really, right? You did something special for me. You know, if all he did is cut down the cooking time, it's just not enough. Ibailahu, we are at the very top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Question: Let's flip the case, okay? With pun intended, okay? So and now let's have the guy put the burger on the grill, and now we're going to flip it. We're going to flip the burger. So is that making now okay? So the Gemara says, Mahu Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kavachomer. The Gemara says, look, we can make the following logical argument. If he puts the finishing touch on the burger by him flipping it over, and we said that it's okay, if I put the finishing touch on the burger, so kol shekein, how much more so it should be okay? I'm going to be honest with you, I really struggled with this kal v'chomer.
But the thing is that the concept there was that the Jew had initiated years ago.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Meaning, look, I have to, in other words, the Gemara doesn't balk at this kal v'chomer. Obviously, the Gemara is satisfied with it. I personally, and Ben echoes my sentiment, I struggle with the kal v'chomer, meaning if you're putting the burger on, you've done now the act that even if unattended to, the burger's going to cook. The fact that he flipped it, we described as being insignificant because it would have cooked anyway. So if he puts the burger on, so I'll just use the same argument, meaning now he did the significant act, and by me flipping the burger, we're like, okay, that's great, but it would have cooked anyway. So
if a Jew does any part of the cooking process, it's okay.
Right. Well, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says it. Fine. Idmar nami amar Rabba bar Bachanan Rav Yochanan v'amila amar Rav Acha bar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan ben shinecho v'kochavim v'afach Yisrael ben shinecho Yisrael v'afach v'kochavim mutter. The Brisa says it would be fine if you're on the initial placement of the burger on the grill, or if you're on the flip. It's fine. In other words, the only time it's special akum is when he starts and finishes the process. So let's say you have a bread that was the shagar of ikochavim. Rashi over here describes. Here we go. Top Rashi. Shagar of ikochavim hisik betanur. Meaning he was the one who lit up the oven. The afa you saw, and the Jew put it in. In other words, he's the one who baked it. Let's turn that around. Meaning we heated up the oven and he put the bread on. So or you can have him doing the initial lighting up of the oven, and you can have him also baking. And you there are stoking the coals of the oven, as long as you're making a contribution to the cooking process, so it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. Again, this is not a halachish here, but I'll mention it now. And it's a major debate amongst the Ashkenazim versus the Sephardim, Shulchan Aruch against the Ramah. What is considered a significant contribution in terms of the cooking process that would now remove the Isra of Bishul Akum? So the Shulchan Aruch says pretty much what we just saw together in our Gemara, which is that you need to do some a contributing act to the cooking process, meaning put the burger on, heat up the oven, light up the oven, or stoke the coals. Okay, well, however that would translate into modern, you know, into our modern technology. But the Ramah has a tremendous kula, has a leniency, and that is that as long as we lit the first fire of the morning, and that fire now serves as basically the pilot light for all future fires of the day, so that now is going to remove the process of Bishul Akum. That is the heter of the Ashkenazim, and it already goes back to the Ramah, and that's what many establishments, commercial establishments rely upon. Okay.
The first book we saw distinguishes
pass
from Bishul.
You know,
the Gemara seems to.
Yeah, right. Very good. Many of the Gemara over here is talking about bread as it relates to Bishul Akum. That's an excellent observation. Excellent. Okay. Dag Maliach, salted fish, Chizkiah Sharei Rav Yochanan Asur, so a debate regarding the salting process. So we already saw this earlier, but we now see it's a machlokus, but Chizkiah says that it's mutter again, salting is not cooking. And so therefore, he's okay, and Rav Yochanan is machmer, and Rav Yochanan is machmer, Rashi says, because salting is cooking, meaning as it relates to these fish don't need a lot of cooking, they just need a salting process, so therefore the salting becomes now the cooking. Beitza tzluya. What about a roasted egg? Bar Kapar Shari Rav Yochanan Aser. So Bar Kapar says it's mutter, Rav Yochanan says it's Aser. It's difficult, admittedly. It's difficult to understand why it would be mutter. Meaning an egg, I guess you can argue that it could be eaten raw. I'm with you. It's right? So let's say you can't eat it raw. And then what would be the heter? Now Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi. Rashi says, Beitz Tzluya Shitzala Ovikochavim Bar Kapar Share Hoa Ubliya Ochel Dide Velo Naga Ovikochavim Beuchla. So Rashi over here provides the argument of, well, he never actually touched the food itself. In other words, obviously the egg is in the shell, and so what the guy is doing is he's only handling the shell, but he's never handling the actual edible portion of the egg, the contents in the shell. Admittedly, that's tough to understand, meaning, okay, he didn't touch the food, but that means that in order for something to be Bishul Akum, he has to be able to touch the food? I mean, maybe the answer is yes, but again, I'm just admitting, it's hard to understand this heter, or at least this shita, that a cooked egg would be okay. Rav Yochanan obviously doesn't buy this argument. Rav Yochanan feels that a cooked egg is subject to Bishul Akum. So whether we're talking about salted fish or roasted egg, so you have two who are makel, and you have Rav Yochanan being on the side that it's aser. Rabbi Chia Parva goes to the house of the Reish Galusa, and they ask him the question about a non-Jew roasting an egg. And his response, Amalei Chizkiah bar Kapar Shav, Rav Yochanan aser. So his response is, well, these Amoraim say it's okay, and Rav Yochanan says it's Asher, Ve'in Dvarav Sha'achem B'makum Shnayim. And two Amoraim saying that's Mutter, so that's two verses one. So Amalu Razvid Lo Tetzitzulei. So Rav Zid says, please pay no attention to him. Meaning, Hachi Amar Abaye Hilchazak Havasi De Rav Yochanan. So in other words, he's we're all at the house of the Reish Galusa, and he says, look, it's not a Heter. Meaning Abaye says, Allah falls like Rav Yochanan, you cannot have a Goy cook an egg. It's subject to Bishul Akum. So Ashkuya Neguta Dechala V'Nach Nafshei. So now the members of the house of the Reish Galusa were not happy with this chumah that was just introduced to them. So what they did is they served some vinegar together with it was obviously poisonous vinegar and spice vinegar and whatever the case was, it was lethal and as a result he drank it and he died. So the Gemara gives a wonderful cautionary note, meaning you want to be machmir, that's fine. You want to now broadcast your chumrah to other people, so do so at your own risk. Now, obviously, I'm not treating the Gemara right now with like the seriousness that it obviously deserves, meaning they killed him because he was being machmir, that doesn't sound right. The Gemara over here kind of ends the story on this note. The Gemara doesn't, right. The Gemara doesn't comment anymore on it. It is an odd way to end the story, admittedly. Yes. No, because I understood. But on Pesach, however, in other words, the Torah gives a very prescribed fashion in terms of how to prepare the Korban Pesach. The Torah says, Sorry, I'm struggling for the pesukim. But the Torah there says it has to be specifically sliyesh. That's specific to the Korban Pesach. Over here, however, in areas of cooking, meaning, generally speaking, by general Isser v'Heter, cooking and roasting are one and the same. In Bishul Akum, we are also, same basic idea, roasting and cooking are generally the same, generally. Okay. All right, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with more discussion of the Gemara of the Halachas of Bishul Akum.